All right, good morning, everybody. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Revelation 9. Revelation 9, we're in the middle of a series on the book of Revelation, how the world as we know it will end. How the world as we know it will end. 2 weeks ago, last week was Father's Day, we had a special message last week. 2 weeks ago, we started with Revelation 8. The first four trumpet judgments, there's seven total. And then we want to finish that today in Revelation 9. And so here's the seven-year tribulation period, an idea of this future time of God's reckoning with mankind. God's going to step in, as it were, to the day-to-day lives of people in a way that he hasn't done in a long, long time. And God has placed it on the church's shoulders, on, in other words, you and I, the body of Christ, to share the good news. But then God's going to say, you know what, I'm going to raise up a new witness. He's going to take us up off the earth at the rapture, and that's right there on your left there, the rapture. And he's going to take us to be with him in the air. So the only people left on earth are those without Christ. Billions and billions of people. And so what we've seen so far in Revelation is that for 3.5 years, the two witnesses of Revelation 11, we'll be getting to them very soon. In fact, in just a few weeks, because after we finish chapter 9, we'll do chapter 10, which is a fairly short chapter, and then study those two witnesses who have such a role. I mean, the day that the rapture occurs, these men are raised up by God. Apparently, God is apparently either going to send two prophets from the Old Testament, like Elijah and Moses or something like that, who are already believers, or he's going to do an Apostle Paul. He's going to appear to two men in Israel, and on that first day, bring them to himself. Lead the Lord Jesus will lead these two men to the Lord Jesus. He's going to appear to them. And they will begin to preach that very first day. Now, they haven't had a chance to learn the Word of God. They haven't had a chance to go to school or anything like that. But they'll be prophets because God's going to put the message right into their minds. All right? He's going to give them the very words to say. And they're going to speak for 1,260 days or for 3.5 years. And the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, those are going to be part, okay? You're talking about roughly 14 different things there, okay? But what we've got, everybody, is that that's not very much over the course of 3.5 years. I mean, you could do that. You could do those judgments in 2 weeks if you wanted to do one a day. So I have a feeling they're going to be stretched out across the 3.5 years because these are pretty potent judgments. But Revelation says in Revelation 11, these two men are able to bring whatever trouble they wanted on planet Earth. God gives them the wherewithal to do that. He says they can bring whatever troubles they want on mankind as they're preaching. And by the way, nobody can eradicate these two men. They have like supernatural armor on. I mean, their lives, many times people will attempt to take these two men out, but God will not allow it. They will just be impermeable until that very middle line there where it says the man of sin. That's who many pastors and commentators call the Antichrist. The man of sin, he goes into the temple. He kills the two witnesses on the 1260th day at sundown. He kills those two witnesses. And then, let me check something here. Dan, this is on my, okay. And so he kills the two witnesses at sundown on the 1260th day. He goes into the temple that's been rebuilt in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, the Mount there. I don't know if it's technically the Mount of Olives. I think it's called the Temple Mount. Yeah, got those confused. The Temple Mount. He goes into that temple and basically he desecrates it. He sacrifices maybe a pig or something like that. He desecrates the temple and then he declares that he is God Almighty. He's done what nobody could do for 3.5 years. He's killed these two pernicious witnesses of Jesus who have been doing nothing but bringing judgment on man for their evil. And so he does what no one's able to do, and the world begins to worship him as God. And then he gets a right-hand religious guy who I believe the Bible calls the Antichrist, okay? But he's definitely called in Revelation the false prophet by John. In 1 John, he's called the Antichrist, capital A, because he is everything Christ is, he's against. He's Antichrist. He's going to declare that this man of sin should be worshipped, that he is the true God, and that this man is going to bring nirvana, utopia, whatever you want to call it, back to planet Earth. But not so fast, because he's not in control. God's in control. So he thinks he's going to do it, and he thinks he's going to rule over the world, and he thinks at the Battle of Armageddon that he defeat Jesus. He's going to get all the armies of the world to come to the Middle East, and he thinks that he's going to defeat the Lord Jesus, but that's just not going to happen, because God's word will come true and Jesus will summarily defeat him. So that's the first 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years are the final 7 major judgments. There's many minor judgments that we're not told of, but these major ones, the bowl judgments, are especially. Now, we've been doing these trumpet judgments and we're thinking, oh my goodness, God is really pouring out his wrath on mankind, and he is. But the bowls even are more powerful, and they're very, very strong against mankind, because again, people keep plugging their ears against God, and God is trying to wake them up so they don't end up in eternal damnation in hell. This is God's love for mankind. He's not doing this so he can make people squirm. He's doing it to wake them up spiritually, because, hey folks, let's be honest, the people that are around us, they're not really interested in God and the things of God, are they? They're not interested in eternity and rewards and honoring God and glorifying God. They're not. Okay? So, I like this quote by Chuck Swindoll. People often say, a God of love would never do these things we see in Revelation. A God of love would never do that. But look what Chuck Swindoll says. Chuck Swindoll says, God's harsh judgments have a holy purpose. Okay, and moms and dads, think of your children. You don't like to discipline your children. You don't like sometimes they might need to be spanked. And I'm not talking about beat, I'm talking about spanked, so they know who the authority in the home is, so they know who is in control, and that should be used very wisely and very cautiously from time to time. But even God, parents have harsh judgments on their children. Even if they just put them in the corner, if they put them in the corner for 2 hours, that can be kind of harsh on a young child, okay? But they do it because they want the child to know, I'm the boss and not you. God wants mankind to know, I created you, I'm the boss and not you. Now, God's harsh judgments, Swindoll said, have a holy purpose. As people he created, we can choose to listen to God. And I think when he says we, he means Christians and all the unbelievers. As people he created, we can choose to listen to God's warnings, or we can harden our hearts. Regardless, God will not relent. You know, we sing that song, right? He will not relent. He won't give up. He will not give up until his purposes are accomplished. And what is his purposes for mankind? His purpose is to usher in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what he does at the end here, everybody, is he brings these harsh judgments on mankind like a megaphone. You remember 2 weeks ago, we showed you C.S. Lewis. God whispers to mankind. He whispers to us in our pleasures. You know, and when he does good things for us, he's saying, see how much I love you? See how much I think of you? And you know, we have a lot of pleasures in life, a lot of good times in life, and a lot of bad times. But he whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks a little stronger. He speaks to us in our conscience. Hey, what I'm doing isn't right. You know, I'm resisting God here. Okay. But he shouts in our pains. Pain is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And you know what? Our world right now, everyone, is pretty deaf toward God. It's pretty deaf. And so God is going to unleash. Now, here's the good news. If you're here today And you can say, Pastor Bob, I'm 100% sure that I'm going to be with God forever and ever. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. Guess what? Good news. You are not going to be on earth when these trumpet and bowl judgments are falling. Those 7 years, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus to be absent. I'm not talking about our physical death on earth, but really to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to have our glorified bodies then, but we'll be with the Lord. I actually misquoted that verse there. That's actually talking about right now, if a person dies absent from the body, their body's left here on earth. But at the rapture, our body's going with us. We will not die physically. We'll see Jesus, and we will never taste physical death. Wow, that's amazing. I hope that we all get to enjoy that. That would be wonderful. Okay? So, pain is God's megaphone. He's trying to wake the world up, the atheists and unbelieving people. He's drawing humanity to himself, but the humanity's pushing him away. Therefore, because God loves people, not because he hates them and wants to see them squirm, he loves people, he's giving them a wake-up call. He is turning up the thermostat. Did you ever turn the thermostat up that warm in Christmas time, you know, around? That's pretty warm, wouldn't it be? You couldn't stay in the house. You would be having, it was a picture that had 68 on the thermostat, and I slipped a one there just to show you that God's going to heat up planet Earth. Now, in Texas in the summer, God heats it up, and it's hot enough for me, okay? 100, 110, that's good enough. But you know what? Hey, by the way, everybody, one of the bowl judgments is that God is going to intensify the sun so hot that people, it says, are going to gnaw their tongues out because of the pain. They're going to chew on their tongues. It's going to be so painful. Now, I don't know if it'll hit 168. That would seem to be beyond comprehension. That's really hot, but it'll get really hot. It might, you know, it might be 125, 130, but he's going to intensify the sun, one of the bowl judgments. We're going to see that in Revelation 16. But anyway, listen, what we're trying to get at here is by God turning the thermostat up, he's getting his megaphone out and saying, humans, listen to me. I'm your only hope. You need me. You're gonna die and go into eternity without me. Please wake up. Please. God is not trying to sit up in heaven like a sadist and go, ha, 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 oh, I love seeing people squirm down there. No, no, no. It breaks his heart to have to do it. Just like parents, they don't want to have to discipline their children and see them suffer. But you know what? You have to do it. Because until they could understand who is the authority and who is in charge, because life won't go well for them if their entire life fighting authority, fighting, you know, the police, fighting their boss, fighting, you know, you name it, fighting the person that's standing behind the counter somewhere. I mean, the people will get that way. So let's do a little review, everybody. People refuse to listen to God. All he can do is try to wake them up before it's too late. So let's do a little review. The first trumpets we saw, Revelation 8. The first judgment that falls here is in verses 6 and 7. We'll remember that the vegetation all over earth is burned. One-third of the trees, I believe, and all green grass, it says. Now, this grass eventually grows back, but for a moment, it gets just scorched. There's just... And by the way, these first four are mainly hitting the ecosystem, but of course it's having a horrible effect on life on Earth. I mean, think about this. Think about one-third of all the trees, you know, fruit trees and things that people live on. Hey, by the way, everybody, the United States is only 5% of the Earth's population. You know, draw a big pie chart, and we're a very small sliver. We are very, very fortunate in America to live here. And to go into stores, we don't even think about it. We walk into stores and the shelves are covered and food's falling off of them. We've got so much to eat and everything. But you know what? The rest of the world, a lot of it, they don't live like we live. And they don't know what we know. They don't have what we have. And so if their vegetation gets burned up, it's really bad. Now, it's bad for everybody because it'll eventually affect America once that food's all gone. That's number one. The second thing we saw was this giant meteorite or some kind of thing from outer space coming and hitting the ocean, and one-third of the ships are destroyed, and one-third of the people on the seas are destroyed, a lot of death. And then we saw this an asteroid or something coming down and hitting and fouling up the fresh water. The ocean isn't drinkable, it's not potable, but the rivers are. And it hits one third of the rivers, and the water's not drinkable, but people are used to going and drinking the river. They drink it, and many of them die. So again, God waking people up. Listen. And by the way, there's people all over the world that worship the sky and the sun. They worship the sun. They worship the moon and the stars. And when the two witnesses are saying, the God of the Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus, is the creator. The stars aren't God. The sun isn't God. Jesus is God. And tomorrow he's going to do this. They'll know that they're going to try to put two and two together and say, hey, you know what? I think what these guys are saying is right. Many, many people will believe them. Many, many people will get saved. But the truth of the matter is many more people will not. They'll keep rebelling. When you get to the end of Revelation 9, they would not repent of their sorceries and fornication and all these things that are listed there, their thefts. They would not turn. Even after these seven trumpet judgments, people would not listen to God. But you know what? The guy that was in hell, you remember in Luke 16? And he was begging Abraham, Abraham, send Lazarus, let him go to my brothers and warn them lest they come to this horrible place. And Abraham tells the guy in hell, he says, listen, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to what the Old Testament says, they won't listen to somebody if he rises from the dead. Hey, listen, Jesus rose from the dead. Did everybody on earth believe him? A lot of people. It says some worshiped him and some doubted. They're seeing the risen Christ. Some worshiped and some doubted. Hello? Seeing Jesus with their own eyes. Well, I don't know. Isn't that a heart? That's a really hard heart. All right, so you got these here. Now we're going to look at number four. This is another terrible trumpet judgment. The sun and the moon and the stars, they're darkened for 8 hours a day. That's going to wreak havoc on mankind. Now we get to the last verse in Revelation 18. What we're trying to do is set the stage for Revelation 9, okay? This is just a little review. John said, I looked, and I heard an angel. There is that little tiny white thing up there. That's the angel. I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. By the way, the majority text says, I saw an eagle, so it might be actually an eagle, flying through the midst of heaven or the sky. I saw him flying through the midst of the sky, saying with a loud voice, whoa, 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 trouble, trouble, trouble to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Wow. Hey, listen, anytime God says something three times in a row, he really means it. Moms and dads, do you ever say to one of your children that they got you so upset and mad? You say, no, no, no. When they hear the triple no, that's not just like saying, no, 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 no. That's really, they get it. Well, when the Bible says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, I said that the first time I saw Kelly at college. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But anyway, that's a different whoa. Okay. Kelly says, don't go there, Bob. I'm going to say, on the other hand, there. Okay. The next three trumpets, 5, 6, and 7, are the three woes. Okay, the three woes. And it says in Revelation 9:1, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Here's the first woe. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. Okay, now our question is this. Okay, we saw some stuff happening in chapter 8 like this. What is this? A star falling from heaven or from the sky. Okay, that word can mean heaven, and it can mean the sky. But probably here, the sky. John said I saw it coming down out of the sky. Okay? Now, is this a literal, like a meteorite or something? I don't think so. You say, well, why did you just say that about chapter 8? Because the context showed us that it was probably literal. But the context here shows it's probably metaphorical. And that's how you have to adjust here. He's using a word picture here. What is a fallen star in the Bible, everybody spiritually speaking? What is that? It's a fallen angel, isn't it? It's a fallen angel, one of Satan's henchmen that fell with Satan. And when John says he sees this star falling from heaven, because it goes on to say these creatures that come out. He had this fallen angel has the key to the bottomless pit. A meteorite doesn't have a key that can open up hell. Okay? A meteorite doesn't have that. This is probably a spiritual entity, a fallen angel, who has a key that's given to him. And of course, that's metaphorical too. There's not a door lock on hell. What it's saying is they have the power to open that up and release creatures coming out of the pit in the middle of the earth, out of hell. Most people conservative people would agree that hell is in the middle of planet Earth right now. Okay, so like I said, most commentators would say this is a fallen angel. Now, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Okay, the bottomless pit, Hades, or what we would call hell. Okay, and he opened the bottomless pit. So God gave, in other words, by the way, in the Bible, key is authority. Jesus said, I have the key of hell and of death, because he's got the authority over those things. He has authority over who goes to eternal destruction, and he has authority over who dies and when. That's Jesus has the authority. He was given the authority to open the bottomless pit. The smoke arose out of the pit. Think of the volcano. You see those plumes coming out of the volcano in Hawaii, remember that? Smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came on the earth. Now, do any of you guys know locusts, you know, grasshoppers? Do you guys know locusts that could be in a place that's fiery and it's got smoke coming out? I don't think these are really actual locusts, okay, again. And we're going to see this because later on, John says, and they were like this, 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 okay? And to them, to these locusts, was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now notice, as the scorpions. It didn't say they came out with stingers on the ends of their tails, okay? It says it's like a scorpion. Why? Hey, has anybody in here been bitten by a scorpion? Okay, is it hurt? Makes you sick? Okay, so it's very painful. Okay, I have never, so I can't relate to this. So it says, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass. By the way, why did the angel say, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth? Why did he say that? Because these last three trumpets aren't hitting the earth. They're hitting the inhabitants. They're not a roundabout way of making life miserable for earth dwellers. They're coming right to the earth dwellers. Okay, the last three. And that's why they're the woes. Woe, woe, woe. Okay. To them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. But only those men, those people, it's generic, those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Okay, the 144,000 we saw in chapter 7, God's witnesses for the last 3.5 years, the 144,000, they have a seal on their foreheads. In other words, God has marked them off. Okay, whether the seal's literal or not, it's not important. God has set them aside to be protected from these judgments, whereas the inhabitants of the earth are not protected. They're not sealed by God. They were not given, the locusts, these creatures, we'll call them creatures, these locust creatures, they were not given authority to kill humans, but to torture them. Okay, think of a sting of a scorpion. It's horrible. But guess what? A scorpion sting goes away after, I don't know, I never had one, but let's say, how long, Teresa, how long? Okay, a couple of days it was hurting. So it goes away, though. But look at how long this lasts. But to torment them for 5 months. So it's whatever pain is coming from these creatures, I'm going to show you in a minute, they're demons. These demonic creatures, and by the way, I have an inkling there's a little bit of physical issues here and mental issues going on, because it says people will want to die, but they aren't able to. I'll show it to you in a second. They want to die, but they can't die. They can't take their own lives. So these demons are affecting them mentally and they're affecting them. They could feel this pain, but they can't take a knife and plunge a knife, and they can't take a gun. They're like paralyzed. Maybe they affect their brains and everything. I can go way into this. If you read my commentary, I go into it a lot more. But nonetheless, we're making educated guesses here. But nonetheless, whatever this torture is that these demons bring upon these people that come out of the pit, they're called locusts, but John is seeing in a vision what are undoubtedly demonic creatures. They're coming out of the bottomless pit. Okay? In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. I guess so. 5 months of torturous pain. See, you see how it's getting worse? It's not just having bad drinking water. Now you're laying in a bed somewhere and you're in mortal pain for 5 months. And there's nothing the doctors can do about it, and you can't take your own life. Okay? The shapes of the locusts. Now notice again the word like. This isn't what they really look like. John's seeing this in a vision in his brain, and he's trying to put it on. Look, he never went to the movies. Okay, he's trying to write this down about compare this with something. He's saying it's like this and it's like this, but these are definitely demonic entities, okay? The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. In other words, he's seeing these people, these demons are coming after you like the enemy army. Okay, that's basically what he's saying. That's why they look like they had armor, because God's trying to tell you and I in the world, they're coming for blood. They're coming, they're out to get people. On their heads were crowns like something of gold. They're marching forth victoriously and powerfully. Their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair and their teeth like lion's teeth. So you know what? In my commentary, I get into this, where they are very attractive. These demons start drawing people because they have beautiful long hair like women. But when this human being connects with this demon, and it, by the way, it may be sexual. When it connects with this demon, because of its beauty, the lion's teeth come out. The person doesn't realize they are connecting with a demonic entity. And again, I'm making an educated guess here based on what's being said here, but it might very well be some kind of human interaction with demons. Physically, beautiful on the outside, but when the mouth opens up, spiritually speaking, these people are going to be bitten by this painful entity. And so you could read more about it in the commentary on Revelation. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of the chariots with many horses running into battle. Again, the sound of war, the sound. John's hearing all this. He sees what looks like, they look like horses with chariots, and they're going by them. What it's saying is, this is going to be a bad time. It's going to be like being in the midst of a war and getting hurt and being in mortal pain. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And again, you're seeing this is metaphorical. These are demons, and whatever is happening to humans, it's like getting bit like a scorpion by a scorpion. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them. Notice, this is why I don't think they're locusts, literal locusts, biting people, grasshoppers. They had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Why the Hebrew name and why the Greek name for this spiritual entity? The reason is, and by the way, they both mean destroyer. Destroyer. Why Hebrew, why Greek? Because Greeks, Gentiles, and Hebrews are going to be affected by these entities. Okay? So trumpet number 5, what is it? Trumpet number 5 are the loosing of these demons upon mankind. All right? It's just simply that. The bottomless pit is opened by this fallen angel. In other words, God gives that angel the authority to say, yeah, those creatures that have been pinned in hell from time immortal, do you remember? There's now, everybody, you recognize that there are demons floating around mankind that haven't been chained. But there are entities that have been chained, and God's going to allow some of them to come out during the 7-year tribulation. Thankfully, we won't be here to see this happening, because it's going to be very, very terrible. All right? So, let's do this. says here in verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. All right? Now, I'll tell you what. Due to time, if I start doing trumpet number six, I'm going to go another 30 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop. And what we'll do right now, I'm going to stop, and I want you to start thinking if you have any questions or any comments right now. You tell me your question, and I'll say it into the mic so it will get on the videotape that'll be on, because a lot of people, if they're sick, they'll watch me on the internet because Robert puts it on there for us. But think if you have any questions, and then I'm going to go to the application of this. We'll use the remaining 10 minutes for questions and the application rather than jumping right into that last one, because it's a very detailed one like this one was. So who has a question? It could be about our thing, our message today, or it can be about anything about the end times. Maybe as we've been going through Revelation, you've had some questions stuck in your mind. Does anybody have anything that they want to ask about these creatures? Daniel? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. What Daniel just said, the comment he made, had to do with one of the other reasons that they would be seen by John in the vision as locusts. Because obviously they're really weird-looking locusts. They have long hair like a woman, and they have teeth like a lion. But John's just describing it. But Daniel made a good point. Okay, locusts would infer numbers. He's seeing them come out of that smoke coming out of the bottomless pit, and they're just everywhere. Like, you remember in the movie The Ten Commandments when the locusts came out and they were just filling the air? Well, of course, because listen, everybody, if these things are going to affect for the next 5 months people all over the world, there's going to have to be a good number of them because there's billions of people still on the earth. Now, many of them have lost their lives, but many of them are still alive, and there's going to be a need to be a lot of them. So that's good, Dan. That's a good insight there. And yeah, there's a lot more detail here than you can talk about in a half an hour, 45 minutes. So how about another question? Does anybody else have a question? Okay, Jana. Well, during the 5 months, this one judgment, when those entities come out and they begin to sting people, they're going to be stung physically in a sense. When I say stung, I'm putting it in quotes. When they interact with this demonic entity, however that entity is drawing them with its beauty. Because, you know, Satan is an angel of darkness who transforms himself into what? An angel of light. He appears beautiful. You know, I don't think the devil looked awful in the Garden of Eden. I think when he came, he was one of the anointed cherubs, had a high position in God's council, his heavenly council, and he was beautiful to look at. And so these entities will trick people with their beauty, but then again, the aftermath is like getting clumped down on. You know, you hear on the news about these people getting, that lady just got killed recently, that mountain lion came out, grabbed her, pulled her off of her bicycle in California and pulled her into the woods. And they found recently an alligator in Florida. A woman's body was found in the lake, but her arm was found inside the alligator. So a few weeks ago, I was talking about one of the things that's going to happen on Earth is the animals are going to kill people. And so anyway, so Janet, so that 5 months, those people that are stung with this demonic plague, they're going to feel pain. They're not going to be paralyzed. But maybe mentally or somehow they are paralyzed because they can't kill themselves. Now, obviously, it could mean God is sovereign, and even if they try to take drugs or something, it's not going to work. But I don't see it that way. That would be kind of a weird... I think it would be more likely that it's going to be some kind of way that they're going to, be mesmerized in their mind and be thinking about killing themselves, but they don't have the wherewithal because they're in a coma. They're in kind of a demonically induced coma or something like that. So, all right. Anything else about trumpets, bowls, or Teresa? Yes. Well, you know, there were demons that 2 Peter and Jude tells us that they were chained with these everlasting chains unto darkness until that day, you know, unto this final day. Well, I don't know how many of these that God is going to temporarily give a reprieve to. But some of them, there's a place in 2 Peter or Jude, I can't remember which one, it talks about Tartarus or Tartarus, whatever way you want to pronounce it. Tartarus or Tartarus. And that's a literal place where God has put these entities. So, question, are they possibly the Nephilim of Genesis chapter 6, the men who went into women, remember, earthly women? Interesting. If that's the ones, we have an instance biblically of human beings and demonic entities, you know, basically cohabiting, as it were, you know, that they are becoming one. And so that makes our wheels turn when we get to the first book of the Bible has it, makes my wheels turn if this isn't another instance of this happening. Because again, the beautiful hair, but the teeth of lions, those are metaphors. They're not literal. But somehow these entities come to people, you want me, don't you? Yes. But they get taken to the cleaners, as it were. They get an awful, awful result. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Jeff.
We'll try to find in a minute that God is going to release four demons from the river Euphrates.
Yes.
But it never mentions anywhere in the Bible why those angels, those demonic angels, were bound.
Yes.
When they were bound.
Right.
We don't know. But my point is, there's just so many things we can't know.
Right.
We can't sit here trying to figure out every little thing.
Yeah, all the minutiae. Right. Yeah. Jeff said, basically, we're going to get to a place in Revelation where it says there were four angels bound at the river Euphrates. They're bound in the river somewhere. Now, obviously, it's not going to do anybody any good to drain the river and try to find them because they're spiritual. They're not going to find, like, four guys with red suits and a pitchfork. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen because they're spiritual. But what Jeff said was that... and you know what, Jeff, you know what, I really appreciate your comment because, you know what we have to be careful as teachers is to not go too far into saying, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I'm making an educated guess here about something that might portray, but I really do strongly believe that they're, you know, that these are demons and that they are going to be getting to people somehow. Now, whether it's through their beauty, that's yet to be seen. That hair may mean something totally different, but typically, long hair like women's is—it's for beauty, you know. That long, you know, you get the idea. Okay, so, so anyway, Jeff's right on the money. We don't want to go too far and think that we can nail down all the minutiae. And he said there's four angels bound in the river Euphrates, and one day God is going to release those angels, and it's part of the bowl judgments. And so on and so forth. So, okay. Thank you, Jeff. Anybody else? Just had a few minutes here left before. Okay, yes, Leslie? That's a great question. Leslie asked, why would God give authority to a fallen angel? As opposed to it's coming down out of heaven. First of all, Leslie, John's seeing a vision, and it's very possible that Uranos, the Greek word for heaven, it also means sky. And it would seem to me it's more likely that he sees this angel falling out of the sky, though it could be heaven because it could be you know, talking about how Satan fell from heaven. But here's why. Here's why I would say it's more likely that it is a fallen angel, because he is, it says later that he is the, what's it called? I'm looking for my notes here. Probably the last page here that I can't get to. Let's see, verse 1. Well, it had to do with he was the in charge of the angels in the bottomless pit. He's the commander over those. You know what I'm saying? Later on, we're told in the same context by John that this angel that's falling from heaven or from the sky, that he is commander of the angels that are in the bottomless pit. That's why we would say it was undoubtedly not a heavenly angel, but somebody. Now, again, I suppose a heavenly angel could be in charge of making sure they stay down there and something. But again, the context, it would seem, would be we're trying to get this idea that that Satan is doing something here. And, you know, God gave Satan authority. You know what I mean? He gives him authority to go walk about and to devour people. He gives them he allows them to do that. So obviously he's giving them the okay, Satan the okay to devour human beings spiritually and ruin their lives. And so God has purposes and plans for all those things. Okay, maybe one or two more questions, and then I'm just going to give you the application. Anybody else? I think we got to them all. Those are good questions. Okay, yeah, Peggy? Definitely, if not. Demon possession, at least demon oppression in a big way. You're right. Like whenever you see like kids being abused and children sexually exploited and all that kind of stuff, yeah, that's heavy duty satanic interaction there. You know, he's definitely working in that situation. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and again, we live in America, and as bad as it is in America, and that happens here. I mean, in other places in the world, it just gets very, very bad. All right, well, you know what, everybody, let's do this. Let me just give you the application that I gave for this, if I can get back to my notes here. Hopefully I can. But here's the Apostle Peter in I'm going to have to go all the way to the end here. Let's see, where is that scripture here? Yes, okay. So we're thinking about how do we take this home? Wow, this is a crazy passage. How do we take this home? How do we apply this to our lives? Well, since we've been talking about demons, Peter says, stay alert. I'm quoting, I think, from the New Living Translation. Stay alert, Christians. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. There's those lion's teeth. Seeking someone to devour. Okay, he's looking for someone to devour. So, folks, we're in a spiritual war. We're not wrestling against other people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But Satan, whose desire it is to devour people. We are sheeps. We are sheep. Well, you know what? Actually, it's not technically wrong to say sheeps. We just don't do that. It's not technically wrong to say we are sheeps. It's actually correct English, but nobody speaks like that. Like when you go fishing and you say, I caught five fishes today. Well, you could say I caught five fishes, but we don't talk about it. But anyway, we are sheep and the devil is a lion. And so that's why Peter says, listen, you know what? You really need God. You really need his word. You really need prayer. You know what? Hey, by the way, everybody, over the years, I know people have passed away, and I know people have moved to other churches, but you know what? There's still a lot of people in our current church that are right now, they're getting devoured by the enemy. Just the other night on Facebook, I had to call one of our church members because they're using F-bombs on the Facebook, and so I wrote him a private I didn't do it on a post. I didn't so everyone in the world could see it. But I privately messaged him on the backside, you know, and I said, it was just between him and I. And I said, hey, brother, really? And he wrote back and he says, I need to get back in church. That was the first thing he said, man. Now, of course, look, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Haven't seen a peep of him. Why? He's being devoured. He's being chewed up by the devil because he's not alert and he's not watching out. He doesn't realize that there's a spiritual war. So he's getting pummeled. And so are a lot of other people. They're getting pummeled. And they might not think of it that way, but it'll continue to get worse and worse for them. And so what 1 Peter 5:9 says, since he's prowling for us, here's what we take home. Resist him firm in your faith. You stand strong. Back in World War I, everybody, there were three battleships that Great Britain had. This was the Lion. This was the Indefatigable. Okay, Indefatigable, which means it's like untouchable. And this is the Queen Mary. Okay, all battleships. Guess what? The German army took them all out. They had very thick steel around the outside of the boat. But guess what they also had? Wooden decks. They had decks made of wood. So the Germans would fly above them with bombs and drop the bombs down on them. And like one of them, the bomb hit right in the wood of the deck. It hit it right where it needed to because underneath it was all the gunpowder that they carried for the entire, all of the ammo, and when it hit that ship, it blew it to smithereens. The Queen Mary had 1,200 sailors on it, and they all went down to the bottom of the sea because they had protection around the outside, but the top of them, and so here's the take home for all of us, for me and you. Where are we vulnerable to the enemy? Think about your life right now. Is it gossip? Is it lust? Is it evil? Whatever it is, theft, is it you are like, see what other people have, covetousness? Whatever the sin is, something you're vulnerable to, don't have a wood deck in your Christian life. You've got a lot of other armor around you, but you know what? You go to Ephesians 6 and you look, what piece of armor am I missing? Do I not have my spiritual shoes on? Do I not have my spiritual helmet on? Don't I have the breastplate of holiness and righteousness on? Am I just not holy? Am I always thinking evil thoughts and just enjoying it? Hey, it's one thing, like Martin Luther said, it's one thing for a bird to land on your head. It's another thing to let him build a nest there. Okay? Everybody's going to have a thing flash in your mind, but, you know, we're going to be like Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Go away. Get out. Immediately, we're to do that. So, everyone, I'm just saying, hey, are you letting the devil just kind of pummel you and rip you up a little bit because you've got that one blind spot or, you know, they would call chink in the armor, okay? You got that one part of your armor where there's a hole and Satan could throw a flaming arrow through it. This is important. We're reading Revelation about the future, but you know what? These demons are alive and well today. Now, some of them are chained, but some of them are not. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, power, might, dominion. All these spiritual entities at different levels. Our church is battling them. Our neighborhood is battling them. They're everywhere. And we have to be people of prayer and the Word. Resist him. Where's that scripture? Firm in your faith, your trust in God, your love for the Word, your obedience to the Word, your trust in God and His Word. You got to resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer, everyone. Father, we thank you for your Word Day. Lord, this is tough stuff. And not many preachers will preach it that I'm aware of because they want happy time at church. They want just people to hear the good things. But they don't want them to hear the tough things. But this is your Word. This, you gave this to us. The church hear, let the church hear what the Spirit says to the church. Revelation. Your Word says it. We're supposed to be listening to this whole book. And so, Father, help us to stand against the wild schemes, the modus operandi of the devil. Help us stand, Lord. Satan could trip any of us up in a moment's notice and we'll just shake our head and go, what just happened? Lord, help us to be alert and ready. We need you, Lord. We need your help and we need your word, Lord. Help us to be people of the word. And we pray it in your precious name, Jesus, and for your sake. Amen.